Hi everyone, and welcome to Being Youthful. I am Kim Beegler. I'm the owner of Youthful Fiber Farm and Mill, and I'm going to talk about wool and wool and wool. So if you are new, thank you so much. I do a lot of hand spinning. I own a wool mill, and I will talk all about those things. And if you're coming back, thank you for coming back. I'm so excited to have you back. This episode, I have no idea what number it is, but whether you are listening or watching, if you could please like, follow, subscribe, comment, all the things that all the apps want you to do, it would be so appreciated. My microphone's going a little crazy here, isn't it? Oh well, as long as it works, we're good. Okay, so in this episode, I've got some great dyeing in the wool videos for you all. So I just took you along the journey of how I dye wool in lock formation before I card it. So I've got some great videos there. I wanted to show you my latest cast on work in progress that I'm slightly obsessed with, and just do a quick farm update. We are grass seed farmers in addition to having animals, some fiber animals, some not so fiber at all. So okay, let's jump in. And I'm trying to keep these shorter, so it's just easier for me to get these out the door in shorter segments. My cat Wish is here, the mill cat, and everybody who's been to the mill or knows Wish, she's on a diet, because I got shamed. She did not get shamed. I got shamed for letting her get to the weight she is at. So we bought an automatic feeder for her, and she's getting fed automatically. So the days I'm not here, even on the days I am here, it just shoots out a small amount of food a couple times a day as I programmed it, and she's already looking slimmer. So anybody coming to the next mill day, which I believe is August 19th, a Saturday, please comment to Wish that she's looking great. Anyway, farm update. Grass seed farm, we are, I think all of the product is off the ground except for the wheat, which is kind of not one of our most important crops. So, and I think that is happening currently as I speak. And Mitch actually just texted me and was like, man down. He was taking our golf course seed, which is our prime grass seed that we grow. He was taking it up to the warehouse where it gets cleaned and broke down on the side of I-5. So he's safely off of I-5. They have been towed, and always exciting. But now they are just in the process. They're starting to turn all the dirt so that we can replant the stuff that is either annual, so it needs to be planted every year, or perennial if we're planting anything new. So they're just kind of prepping. And all of Halsey, Harrisburg, this whole area is just like a plume of dirt. So always fun. Not the prettiest time to come here. And our animals, everybody is doing good. I forgot to let you all know that in addition to the alpaca, cuddle bug had to get shorn again, because we shore him so early. Remember, we shore the sheep back in February, and we shore him at the same time. I didn't even think about it, but April, he started shedding, which Pygora goats do naturally in spring. But the problem was he'd grown out some from being shorn so early, and then he was shedding, and it wasn't even that he grew. Anyway, the point is, it was a hot mess. He was bald in some spots. He was getting matted up everywhere, so we had him shorn. Again, he feels so good. You'll see him in the farm tour. That fiber just went into the junk pile because it was a hot, hot mess. But he was happy to be shorn again, I can guarantee. And the alpaca are thrilled. They're so happy they got shorn. They're getting hosed. They're living the dream. Sunbathing, all the stuff. Everybody else on the farm is good. Our chickens were kind of laying low on the egg laying, and we've had some guests come through over the past couple of weeks, and as soon as all the guests have left now, they are laying like crazy again. So I think they just got thrown by all these people in their space on the farm, whatever, because now they're like, boom, we're back, which is nice because a lot of people buy our eggs, and we were pretty low for a bit there. So there's your farm update. Okay, work in progress. I'm obsessed. I told you guys, I'm knitting this faucet, is what it's called. Thank you, at Shauna Stitches, commented and told me the correct way that the designer says it. And the designer is Knitting McPearly. She does also have a YouTube channel. But so here is what this sweater looks like. when it's done. Mine won't, it'll look like that, but it won't look anything like that because those colors are so different from mine. But I cast it on the other day, and now I can't stop, of course. Anytime I can, which is really just at night, maybe I take a margarita upstairs and turn on a gardening show and knit. So I don't know. I don't know what's become of me, but here we are. That's my happy place these days. So here it is. I'll hold it up. So it does some... So this is the faucet. I will put a link in the show notes to everything. You can see I've got my first little batch of bobbles. This is my first bobbles that I've ever done. So my first bobbles are on. They take a little bit. So I got about halfway through and I was like, oh my gosh, it's midnight. I got to go to bed. But so this has got some mosaic knitting. It's got some stranded color work. It's got some bobbles. So basically you're just having fun the whole time. It's three colors. This is Handspun Rommeldale. I am so in love with the yarn, and I'm also so in love with this pattern. So it's just fun because you're kind of doing something different on each row. It's turning out really, I'm so excited about it. And so my third color, I've gotten to two colors. My third color is this, the darkest of the natural. So these are all natural colored Rommeldale CVM wool yarns. And I think Bow Layers is who I got the roving from. They do also have yarn. Obviously it's not going to look like this because this was hand spun, but I will put a link to them in the show notes because it was lovely to spin. And man, Rommeldale, this is, I spun this in a two ply. So I spun two bobbins in the same color. I would spin, you know, this light color. I'd spin a bobbin and then ply them together for a two ply. A three ply, I would have spun three bobbins, plied them together. So Rommeldale is a very, very warm wool and it's a very, very light wool. So I think all told I spun 12 ounces. But this top is short sleeve and anyway, there it is. I am so excited. And if you are concerned about doing baubles, I wouldn't be. They are really easy. She gives you a link in YouTube. I'll put it in the show notes for how she does these baubles. They're really easy. If you can knit, you can easily do a bauble. So, and they're fun. You get the hang of it pretty quick. I'll hold it up one more time. The faucet. This is Knit With Your Hands Fun. It's so amazing how many people hand spin and don't use it. Whether you're a knitter or a crocheter or a weaver, I don't know what it is. And I don't think I used it as much. I've definitely pivoted. And I love doing bigger projects now with it. Instead of just spinning like a 4 ounce, I like to spin more thinking or spinning multiple colors of the same thing so I can do a project like this. But I really encourage you, if you are a hand spinner, to try to use it. I know it's easy to also just buy yarn, which I don't discourage either, but maybe try to use some of yours because it does make it really fun. It makes it extra fun to work with. So there's my faucet. Okay. Mill updates. Wish is kneading into my leg. Luckily she went to the vet, which is when we got shamed. And she's kneading and kneading and kneading into my leg currently. Okay. She got her nails trimmed. That's what I was trying to say. So mill updates. I can't show you the videos of what I'm working on right now. And it's killing me a little bit inside. And I thought about doing a spoiler, but I don't even have this in the mail yet. It is Fiber Club for August. That's this month. And holy cow, I just got the first maybe 6 pounds off of the Carter. And I'm dying. I'm just dying. I want to go home with it, all of it. But I'm gonna give it to my Fiber Clubbers. So I'm not gonna show you that. I'll show it next week because at least it'll all be out in the mail by then. But it is epic. And what I may do, I know there's gonna be extra. Usually my Fiber Clubbers get access to the extra first and then I will put it up online. I will likely put like two boxes up online. And I'll announce that in my newsletter. So if you're not on my newsletter, go to the website. A pop-up comes up. Just jump in there and get on the newsletter because that's where I do all my first alerts on new products. So keep an eye out for that if you are on the newsletter. And if you're not, jump over there. So I can't show you that. I also have something else. So I've been waiting for this fun thing to throw in, some texture that I'm gonna throw in this little batch of fiber that I have that I'm finishing Fiber Club. I've got this other stuff that I dyed in the wool. I can't wait to get it on the Carter. I've been waiting for this extra texture that I haven't worked with before to show up in the mail. It is here. So as soon as Fiber Club's done, this new fiber is gonna get processed and be in the online shop, or be on the newsletter, because I think maybe I have less than 2 pounds of it. We'll see. But I've been having fun dyeing, which is why I have all these dyeing videos to show you. So I'll show you those in a minute. First, before we go to that, I wanted to show you some new yarns that are in the online shop. They're not mine because I am no longer making yarn. And you can go back to a previous episode. I can't remember which one. I think it was 2 episodes ago. Maybe last episode I announced that. So, but I am bringing in, I'm kind of carefully curating small US mill yarns to bring into the mill shop that I'll have online and I'll have in shop on mill days. So, mill days. So here is one that I did get in to the online shop. So this is Mendocino Wool and Fiber. I actually showed some of their product in the last one, I think, or maybe 2 ago, where I was showing stuff I got at Black Sheep Gathering, and I had purchased some wool cotton roving from them. So this is actually some of their yarn. And this is the Tomsky, I believe is what the name that they call it. These are all 3 natural colors. So you can see there's that one's, this is the fawn. This is obviously the natural white, and this is their gray. So these are all in the online shop right now. This is 100% wool. It is grown in California. I believe it is, it's fiber shed wool. So it's certified fiber shed wool. So that's amazing. And it is next to skin soft, and it's just beautifully spun. It is a 3-ply. It is a worsted weight. And it's so squishy. It's so squishy. So if you're looking for some new yarn, head to the online shop. I'll put a link in the show notes, of course. And I will get some of the others. I have one other mill that I have gotten, and I just purchased another yarn that will be coming for mill day, which I already said, but August 19th. So if you're coming in, there will be some beautiful yarns for you to choose from. And of course, there's always tons of beautiful fiber. So head to the shop if you want to, the online shop or mill day, because I'd love to see you. Okay, I think what we'll do is we will head to the dyeing videos, and I probably will have a quick tour just to say hi to the farm animals, because I know I haven't done that in a while. The dyeing videos, they're not like measure this, measure that. The point that I wanted to make with these dyeing videos is that if you're nervous about dyeing, whether you're gonna dye yarn or whether you're gonna dye in the wool like I do for most of my stuff, I want you to know that it's really not scary. You can do it how I do it. When I'm doing in the wool, I really don't do a lot of measurements, because when you're dyeing in the wool, I personally don't want all the color to be exactly the same. I like the variations in the colors because it spins up into just a lovely, beautiful, sort of a heathered wild yarn as far as colors. But you can, of course, get more measurements in and get more specific on the colors if you want to. It's totally up to you, but I just wanted you to see, you can just gather up the supplies and go without feeling like, oh my gosh, it's so overwhelming and scary. So let's cut to that, and then I'll come back. I have a couple viewer questions I wanted to answer, and then we'll get out of here. We'll all move on with our day. All right, see you all in a minute. Okay, so people ask all the time about how I do my dyeing, and most of the dyeing I do is in the wool. When I'm carding wool, I like to dye it before it goes on the carder. So you'll see I start by, I've got, and I do about 8 ounces to a pound, depending on the pot I have at a time, and I soak it in water with just literally one drop of Dawn liquid, like dish soap, and that helps the dye adhere to the wool better. So I just soak it at least for half an hour. That's my goal, is a half hour. And so that's soaking. And meanwhile, what I do is I just throw some water in a pot. I don't measure things to the mark, because when you're dyeing in the wool, and here's some, the colors are going to break a little bit differently. And honestly, I like that. I'm not going for everything to be uniform. If it were, I would dye a little bit differently, but I am not for this dyed in the wool. So I have a pot, basically just enough so that the wool, or more than enough, it doesn't really matter, but enough that the wool can go in and move around a bit. You don't want to be stuffing the wool in. And I'm going to just drop some citric acid in there. Again, I don't like measure perfectly. That was about a tablespoon or a little under. Piece of equipment, farm equipment is going by. So I'm just going to put this, turn this burner on. And my goal here is just to get, I'm going to stir that citric acid in a little bit. You could do it later, you could do it now. You know, the water is going to warm and it's going to dissolve. So, but just habit, I do it. So I put a lid on just to get the warming process going a little faster. But if I'm going to do like a million chores while it's warming, then I won't put the lid on. Just depends how much time I have or how quickly I'm trying to dye. So I'm just going to let that warm for maybe 5 minutes or so. You can know I don't have it on like full boil. You know, I'm not trying to like bring it all the way to boil. I just am going to warm it a little bit. Then we're going to add the dye, and then we're going to add the wool, and then we can walk away for a little bit, as long as you set a timer so you don't forget it's on. Okay, we'll see you in a minute. Okay, so our pot is warming, so I am going to go ahead, and I have an idea of what I want. I only really measure this on the scale because just so I don't use too much and waste a bunch of dye, basically. So I kind of know how much I'm gonna dye. Depending on the color, it doesn't take very much to dye up just 8 ounces of wool. So, and I mix it up some. I do different dyes. You can, you know, you could just use a teaspoon or whatever and then go from there, quarter of a teaspoon. Lots of times is plenty, just depends. So I weighed out what I want. I'm gonna take it over here. We're gonna go over to our pot and I'm gonna set you up. See how I want you all here. And I'm just gonna drop it in there. So my water is warm. I'm gonna give this a nice stir. We've got the citric acid in there, which is gonna help adhere the dye to the wool. The wool's been soaking. And so now I'm gonna go ahead and just start adding the wool. And I don't want the water boiling or even near boiling. Warm is fine, a little bit warmed up. The wool has been sitting in, you know, coldish water. So it's gonna decrease the temperature of the dye pot pretty quickly. So, but you don't want to be putting it into really warm because that's going to shock the wool pretty hard and you risk felting more. So I'm just going to go ahead and start adding wool, and I open it up pretty well. Not perfect, but just kind of opening all that up as I dye. That way the dye can just get through different parts of the wool, right? So I'll just keep adding my wool until I'm out. And I'll give it a good stir, not a, you know, again, we're being gentle because we don't want to do felting. Depending on the type of wool, it can be more prone to felting, obviously, than others, but just opening up. And then I will give it about halfway through, I'll give it a little gentle stir to kind of push the wool down, because as soon as it goes in, the wool's going to start picking up that color, because I've already got the citric acid in there. If I didn't have the citric acid in there, it wouldn't pick up so quickly. So that's one way you can play with your dye. I put the citric acid in because I kind of want the wool to take the dye at different speeds. I want some spots to be more saturated and some spots to be less saturated. Now, if you don't want that and you're looking for an even color, then you're going to add the citric acid after you add the fiber to the water, because then you have more control of how that goes. And a lot of times I'll add like the citric acid, I'll divide it out in a water mixture maybe 2 or 3 times while I'm dyeing, so that I can keep the process of dyeing slow and then get a more consistent fiber. Oftentimes I do that with yarn. So our wool's in there. I'm just gonna give this a cover. Again, if you're gonna walk away, put a timer on, and whether you cover or not is up to how much time you've got, right? So we're gonna just let it go. We're going just under simmering. We don't really wanna see any bubbling because you will risk felting, but just under simmering, then we'll stop and we'll take it from there. Okay, so here we are. Our fiber is not boiling, thank goodness. We don't want boiling, but just under simmering. So we are basically just gonna turn it off. You can pull it off the heat if you want to, or if it got a little extra warm, pull it off the heat and let it cool elsewhere. This burner I have doesn't stay hot, so I'm just gonna leave it there. But I do like to put a lid on it before I walk away, just because basically what you're trying to do is make sure all that last dye absorbs up. And you can see there's a little bit of dye left in there. And most likely it will absorb up part of letting this cool completely. So we're gonna leave it here. We're gonna cool it completely. Usually the next day I come back to deal with it. But part of that is that some exhausting, or the last of this dye, exhausting is, you know, you want your water to run as clear as you possibly can. So the last of this dye will pick up some while it's cooling. So it's really important not to just start working with the wool now. Plus it's hot, so you could get burned, and you'd shock the wool if you pulled it out of here and then tried to start rinsing it in a cool water. So we are going to, I like to put a lid on it. I just leave it for the night, make sure all my stuff is unplugged, or however I want to do to be safe for the building, and I'll leave it and come back tomorrow and I'll show you the last steps of what I do here. Okay, so here we are at the sinks that I use to rinse, and this wool sat overnight in the pot, and so now it is ready for a good rinse. And I've got this water at a lukewarm water. You can also do cold, totally up to you. I find that the lukewarm helps to pull just a little bit of that extra dye out a little better. I just use a wash. I just do a tiny bit of a wash that I would use to wash my wools after I finish knitting or something, just to help take any of the weird smell from the dye that may accompany it. So, and I just plop it in here. And I'm not sure if I mentioned in the last video or not, but it is recommended when you are handling those, the powder dyes, that you wear a mask because you don't want to inhale it. So obviously up to your comfort level, ventilation, but it is recommended by the people that make those acid dyes to do that. Something just dropped. Okay. And wearing gloves is also, I'm not sure if it's recommended. It's an option. You know, if you don't want to have dye on your hands, then go ahead and wear gloves. I don't generally wear gloves, but it's totally up to you. So I've got this sitting. I just kind of pushed it down to get any of that excess dye out. And then in my sink next to it, I will go ahead and just add cold water, and I'll do one more rinse on it. Now, if I stuck my hand in and there was tons of dye left in here, I would go ahead and do, probably end up doing one or two plus more rinses, because you want to rinse until all the dye is basically, anything that's going to run out, you want it to run out now as best as possible. So that just comes with getting better at knowing how much dye to use, and it's very different given the different colors. So, but that's the goal. So I'm just going to transfer this over to the cold water. Again, it's not a big shock. This is very lukewarm. This is, you know, cold as it's coming out of my tap, so it's not crazy cold. You just don't want to shock your wool time and again when you're dyeing it. That's how you will get a felt, that and agitation. So once I'm done with this, I'm going to go ahead and take it over. I will actually spin it out in my scouring machine, just on the spin cycle. You can do that at home too, in your washing machine. If you have a top loader that will do spin only, you could certainly do it. Spin only is very important, because otherwise you'll get agitation, and that's going to cause some felting. You can also at home use a salad spinner. Super easy. If you're doing small amounts, a salad spinner works great. I would not eat or make your salad in there moving forward, but it's a great option for at home, and you'll be amazed at how much extra water it gets out, which will just increase your drying time. So, okay, I'll show you in a minute, just laying everything out. Okay, here we are. So I've got my drying rack pulled out for you all to see there. And my wool I spun out in the washer. So I just lay it out. No rhyme or reason to it. You know, just try to stretch it out given the space you have. You'll notice that this has spaces for the air to get through. So whatever you're using, it's recommended that you have that just to make it easier for it to dry. So you just lay it across. Hopefully this time of year, wherever, if you're having summer, hopefully it will be nice and dry for you the next day and you can start working with it. Okay, I hope that was helpful for you all. Okay, I hope that kind of inspired you if you haven't dyed before. That was using acid dyes. Obviously, natural dyeing is very different, but if you just want to like dip your toes into dyeing, you can do it with acid dyes. I'll put a link in the show notes to places that you can buy acid dyes, and you can buy just tiny quantities, you can buy larger quantities, all the colors under the rainbow. Of course, you can do lots of mixing, which is what I tend to do, but I just want you to know that you can do it. It's not that scary. You don't have to overthink it too much and have so much fun with it. So feel free to ask questions as well. Okay, viewer question. There were two that I wanted to respond to. One was, I forgot to write down who said it. Kathy Roberts, I think, asked, how do you tell the difference between a ram fleece and a ewe fleece? Because I mentioned this in my last episode with the wool I was working on. I said that the ram's wool seemed to be in better shape than the ewe wool. So ram's wool, the biggest giveaway that a fleece is from a ram is going to be the smell. Ram smell, they have, because they're putting out hormones when they are rutting, so when they are ready to make some babies, when their hormone level is up, they produce this smell that stays in their wool, and it is a very strong smell, and it will be pretty noticeable in just about any ram fleece you pick up versus a ewe fleece, which is going to smell like wool basically. But this a ram fleece definitely has this like hormonal smell to it, is the best way to describe it. Another clue, kind of an easier clue, is that, sorry, I was like, what's going on with my, anyway, another clue is generally the size. A ram fleece, generally speaking, is going to be much larger than a ewe fleece. So if you are looking at a pile of fleeces and you're like, this one is 4 pounds and this one's 7 pounds, your 7 pounder is most like, if they're kind of averaging all their ewe fleeces are the same, and then there's this one that is twice the size, it's probably a ram fleece, because the rams tend to be larger by nature. So size of the fleece, smell of the fleece, those are your biggest traits that you're going to notice. Depending on the breed, you may also see more. A lot of the heritage breeds, the rams get a much more hairy, kind of wiry neck for fiber. Much more like a hare. It tends to be really wiry. It will be especially noticeable up around where their head would have been. Or if you see a sheep, you'll notice that on the ram, they tend to be a little more wiry. Now that is on kind of more of the heritage breeds, Shetlands, Jacobs, Icelandics, because they already kind of have hair like that throughout their fiber, right? So then the males just tend to further on that. In general, the ram fleeces are not as luxurious as the female ewe fleeces, but that's not always the case. Not always the case. And I never just would say, that's a ram fleece, I don't want to look at it. After you get over the smell, and trust me, once the fleece hits water, the smell's like, woo, that hot water. But, so I still always look at ram fleeces, because rams can put out some absolutely stunning fiber. So, you just have those extra things to think about. So there you go. I hope that helps explain that. If I have a ram fleece at home, I'll try to take a picture of one where you could see, but I'm not sure that I do right now. Somebody else asked about Fiber Club, which I was just talking about, if they can get on the wait list for it. And I do not have a wait list for Fiber Club right now. There are a couple spots open. You can just go into the online shop, and in the drop-down menu, when you hit shop, there will be a link to get to Fiber Club, or I think if you go into the Fiverr section on the website, it's probably one of the top listings is to join Fiverr Club. So you can go and do that anytime. It's a monthly subscription, and it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun for me to put together, and I know it's a lot of fun for the people in it, and there is a monthly Zoom included in it, where lots of time we talk about what the monthly will, if everybody got it, what they think, but lots of times we're just talking about wool and spinning, and so it's fun. But you can go ahead and get signed up for it now until I say that's too many. I think that's it, you all. I think that's it. I am gonna go and work a little bit more in the mill before it gets too hot. And then I've gotta go turn an irrigation pump off because Mitch won't make it there on time. So thank you so much for watching. Next episode, I know I'm gonna talk a little bit about conditioning your wool before you card or comb it, because I did a video on Instagram and it got a lot of attention as far as what the heck was I doing when I was conditioning the fiber. So in the next episode, I'll talk a little bit about that because I've done a little extra research for you all at home for if you want to know more about this. So something to look forward to. Okay, thank you so much for watching. Please don't forget to subscribe, to like, to comment. Feel free to ask questions about anything I've talked about. And until next time, be kind to your neighbor, stay healthy, and make all the pretty things. Just keep casting on, keep spinning, keep grabbing your hooks, do it all. Have so much fun. Thank you. Take care.